everybody. Oh, we have got a lot of people here today. That's great. Looks good. Welcome here and welcome online. To those people who are listening now or later on, you're most welcome. Hope you've all had a good week. It's been a funny week, hasn't it? It's been sunny, windy, wet. Getting used to this wet, aren't we? We're beginning to look like ducks. But it's great to have you all here today. Just going to read a few lines from Psalm 101. I will sing to your love and justice, to you, Lord. I will sing praise. Let's just open in prayer. Father, we just thank you that you have brought us all here today. And we thank you that you have been with us during the week. Father, we may have had our ups and downs, but Father, we know that you have been with us all through it. So Father, we just ask that you will be with us this morning. Open our hearts and minds to you so that the Holy Spirit can really work in us today. We ask this in your name. Amen. Right, we're really going to sing our praise today. We're going to open our hearts to the singing that we're going to do. Our first song is Amazing Grace.
First Chronicles 17:16. I think this was the verse I was kind of meditating on, and it so happened like that was the verse John Newton was also meditating upon. So I'll read that verse. First Chronicles 17:16. It says, "Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, 'Who am I, Lord God, and what is my family that you have brought me this far?'" And this was the verse which John Newton was meditating or preaching on in 1773 on the New Year's service. And just before that, he wrote this song, Amazing Grace. I know the life John Newton lived. He was a slave trader, but God found him when he was caught in a shipwreck, when all was lost and when he thought his life was going to be over. And he was a wretched sinner, like probably me, when God saved me as well. And he said, "Lord, have mercy on us." And God did rescue him. 11 hours later, they landed. And he never went back to sea again to do slave trade, but he fought against it. His life was changed and transformed. So I think I was asking this question, like, where was I when God found me? And sometimes we need to kind of look back at all those days when God first found us and made us his own. And this morning, as we sing this song, let's look back and thank God for saving us and for bringing us thus far and continuing to lead us in the ways ahead.
Thank you.
that unending love and that amazing grace is what sustains us as we go through. And I think it just makes us stand in awe, isn't it, with how much God can love us. Sinners like us, a holy God, but He loves us, and we can stand in awe of that God. From the beginning. And we have a God who is faithful in every way. And He knows our lives. He knows our path. And He chose us for a reason. And that's why we are saved by His blood.
faithful God am I. What a faithful God. What a faithful God am I. Faithful in every way.
Lord, what a faithful God you have been in our lives. Right from the day that we were formed in our mother's womb, the day that we were born, the day that you made us your own. Lord, we thank you that you have been faithful. Lord, you chose us before the foundations of the earth. You've called us by name. You've made us your own. And Lord, that you have guided and guarded us, guarded our steps each and every days and moments of our life. Lord, when times when we've stumbled and we've fallen aside, Lord, your hand lifted us. You were faithful through all of that, through ups and downs in life, through joys and sorrows, Lord. You have been faithful. Lord, we can look back and thank you that you have been faithful. Lord, thank you for saving us. Thank you for making us your own. And Lord, what a privilege to know that we are held by the Creator's hands and we are in the palm of the Creator God. And Lord, that you will continue to lead us till you call us home. Lord, what a blessing, what a privilege. With hearts of gratitude, we thank you for who you are and who you have been and who you will continue to be in our lives. Amen. Please be seated.
After the service today, Thursday, 10 o'clock, it's our art, no, Thursday at 10 o'clock, it's our care group Bible study, and on Friday, between 1 and 3, it's our art and craft group. Monday the 4th of March, 12:30 to 2, is our next over 50s lunch. And Saturday the 16th of March at 9:30 is the next men's breakfast. Now Sunday the 24th of March is our annual general meeting. And this will be followed by a bring and share fellowship lunch. So, now I have sent an email round to those who normally do annual reports. So, check your emails, and I will nudge you along if I don't get them by the 17th of March, please. Thursday, the 18th of April, ladies, it's our day. It's a ladies' fellowship dinner, and it will be at the Derby Digger. You've all had those who came last week got a flyer about that and a form to fill in. If you haven't had one, you will get one. Chase Maureen up for that. But there's a lovely menu to look at and a form to fill in. And any questions that you may have, Sue will be happy to answer those for you. And now Sue will bring us our reading.
Morning. Today's reading, it's a long one. It's from 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 to chapter 2 verse 6. Now the message that we have heard from his son and announce is this: God is light and there is no darkness at all in him. If then we say that we have fellowship with him, yet at the same time live in the darkness, we are lying both in our words and in our actions. But if we live in the light, just as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from every sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and there is no truth in us. But if we confess our sins to God, he will keep his promise and do what is right. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all our wrongdoing. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. I am writing this to you, my children, so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have someone who pleads with the Father on our behalf, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And Christ himself is the means by which our sins are forgiven, and not our sins only, but also the sins of everyone. If we obey God's commands, then we are sure that we know him. Those who say that they know him, but do not obey his commands, are liars, and there is no truth in them. All those who obey his word are people whose love for God has really been made perfect. This is how we can be sure that we are in union with God. Those who say that they remain in union with God should live just as Jesus Christ did. Amen.
We're going to sing one more song called The Waymaker. He's a faithful God who's made ways in our life through various circumstances, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you're facing a path or a way where we think like nothing is happening, we just got to hang in there, because he's still working at the back. Till the door opens, we may think like the door is shut and nothing is opening, but he opens the right door at the right time, and he leads his people as he's done in our lives in the past. Let's rise and sing with hope that he is our way maker.
Walking in.
Well done, Lawrence. That wasn't an easy one to keep up with, was it? I bet Mark was glad he wasn't on it as well.
We need to work on that, don't we?
It's time to come to prayer. We have our prayer list, don't we, where we pray every, well, Wednesday evening is our time that we know we all pray together at 7:30. But we pray all through the week, don't we, on that prayer list. But I'm sure there's people here also that need prayer at the moment. We may not think it, we just think we're all okay, don't we? But I'm sure we do need prayer. We need it for our families, for our friends. And as I said, there's people here that need prayer today. So just think of people that are around you also. The prayer this week is from Gunton Baptist Church. I've been here. It's only a little church, not much bigger than ours, really. And they're part of Lowestoft. They're, I suppose, like we are part of Wickford. They're part of Lowestoft. And they're on a large estate in a deprived area. That we cannot say. We're in a deprived area. The church is small, mainly elderly membership, and they've been without a minister since 2022. There is a leadership team of four deacons, and Sunday services are led by one of the deacons, some members of the fellowship, and they have lay preachers in. But although there's not many there, they've got a busy programme. Create and Craft, coffee and biscuits, a Hub Cafe, drink and food, just like us, isn't it? And a weekly prayer and Bible study. And they've got a community clothing scheme, which is like a charity shop, but it provides clean and quality clothes for people to go and use. Plus they do the food bank. And they do Baby Basics, which works with midwives and health carers and that, and they come into the church to use. So their church is used very practical, isn't it? They must be right set in the middle of that area. And they've asked for prayer for new people to join the church and make things grow, for guidance and leading in what God wants the church to do in the future, for fresh ideas and how the church can look for new opportunities. But they haven't prayed for a new minister. But we can do that, can't we? Because we know how they must feel. We prayed a long time before we got our ministers, so they've got a few years perhaps to wait. But their time will come like ours did. So let's just open up to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning. And Father, we open our arms to you. You know our needs. Father, it may be for our own needs, for our families, for our friends. But Father, we are grateful that we can open up to you. Perhaps sometimes we don't realise that we need prayer, and we don't ask for it. But Father, this morning, I just pray for everybody here, because I'm sure everyone needs you at this time. And Father, we think of Gunton Baptist Church. It is a small church family, but they seem to be doing a lot in that area. And we thank you for that. But Father, we just pray that they will get a new minister soon. Father, it's fine that we can carry on without a minister, but it's great to have that main figure there. And Father, we thank you that although we waited a long time, you sent us Palani at the right time, in the right place. We thank you for that. And Father, we just ask that the word that we've been given will be given today. You will open our hearts and minds to that word, that the Holy Spirit will really work in each one of us. And that as we listen, we take it all in. Our minds don't wander. We just listen to your word. In your name. Amen. We've got one more song. Thank you for the cross. Worthy is the Lamb.
Let's sing this song, either seated or standing, as we prepare our hearts and mind to receive God's word this morning.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Well, good morning, everyone. I was thinking this week that last time I preached, I threw a few questions asking, you know, are you certain you're a Christian? Are you not? You know, thinking or putting your trust in what does not make you Christian, like reading your Bible and coming to church? So today I thought, John was very good at writing about love and what it means to be a Christian in many ways. I mean, it must have been wonderful to sit on a Sunday at the feet of that wonderful preacher. Nothing compared with to me, is it? So today I've got the same question again as last time. Are you certain you are a Christian? Are you aware that you have fellowship with God, with Jesus Christ, and here with one another? And the third question is, do you trust by faith in Jesus that by his blood you've been born again and you are now a child of God? And you may say, well, how can we be certain? Little by little, we may discover in our lives how God works in us and through us and with us. And when you look back, can you say, okay, I can see little changes have taken place since that first day when I came to Christ? Now, don't think that these questions are new, okay? The Christians in the first century, they have the same questions. Actually, that is why John writes his first letter. Because as early as that first century, there were already people in the church that were doubting, and others, they were just feeding these doubts and being a bit strange, bringing certain doctrines that were not biblical. I will not bother you with details, but in those days there was a little group called the Gnostics. Probably you haven't heard of Gnostics, but Gnosticism has always been around. It was in Judaism, in Christianity, in Islam, and today. Now, today they don't call themselves Gnostics. They call themselves New Age. And they teach very strange things, like the world was not created by God, because God Almighty cannot touch matter. So it was a little God somewhere. Okay, you understood my face. And they also think that they were taught that Jesus is not God either. Jesus was an emissary, someone that was sent by the divinity. And that you can be saved by particular, special knowledge. If you belong to one of the inner circles, come on. We have the Bible, and the Bible doesn't talk about Gnosticism or particular knowledge or inner circles, things like that. So John writes to those Christians and writes also to us today in the 21st century, so 20 centuries later, telling us, please don't worry, you can trust in the Bible, you can trust the message you heard from the beginning. Eternal life is not just life without end, it's life of quality. And this is what we are here today, to hear about that life of quality that God wants to give everyone. Do you have alive with that good quality? Do you have fellowship with Jesus Christ and with God the Father? Let us start by reading three verses from the same passage we've had read to us today. So, John 1, 5, 6, and 7, it says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie, and we do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin." The first thing I want to say today is that God is light. This is one of his attributes. And obviously, we're not talking about a light that we can light electrical switch or just a candle, you know, like some people may do. Light a candle, make God see us in that light. No. God is the light that guides, is the light that makes a difference in our life. Have we seen the light? Do we realize that God wants us to know and to experience and to live in that light? The first command we find in the Gospel of John is that we need to know Jesus. He is the light. This knowledge speaks of a personal experience. If we don't know Jesus, it's because we haven't had a personal experience. Anyone can talk about God. Anyone can talk about salvation in Jesus Christ. But have you experienced God in your life? Have you experienced the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ? In John 12:36, tell us that we need to believe in the light. It says so. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. We cannot see Christ here now. Jesus is not in a physical way in front of us. But he is in a spiritual way by the Holy Spirit. Have you experienced that presence? You need to open your mind, you need to open your heart, and let him be your Savior. Let us experience him. I don't know if you've had a particular experience with him or not. Let me tell you how I felt God in my life the first time. Someone in a street in London, and it was very dark, winter, and dark, it must have been over 7-8 o'clock in the evening. Someone from the other side of the road called out to me and said, "Hey, you!" And I thought, another one who is gaga, you know, says, "I've got a message for you." And the funny thing is that he said all that in Spanish. And I thought, gosh, really? Why don't you go and pick on someone else? And he spoke to me about Jesus Christ, the light of God. And as he expounded the gospel in which he said, Jesus wants to forgive your sins, and you have to do absolutely nothing but just trust in him. What did I feel? Something in my heart started jumping up and down like if I was going to go bonkers. And I thought, what a wonderful message. This is what I need. Not religion, not politics, not philosophy. This is what I need. A God that loves me and wants to forgive my sins by faith in Jesus Christ. That was my experience. Where did it come from? Well, not from my knowledge, because I had no knowledge of the gospel at all at that point, apart from the little I learned in religion. God was manifesting himself to me. But are you open to allow him to manifest himself to you? Are you prepared to allow God to shed his light on your life right now? You may be saying yes with the head and saying no with the heart. Because when God manifests himself, something is going to happen. And you know, the first thing I noticed is that I had no control over God or my life anymore. And I tell you what, that was the most scary thing I've ever experienced. Not control. I want to control everything. We're control freaks, you know. Let go. Allow God to shed his light on you and take control over your life. You may say, but lack of control is no good. Well, it's good when it is in God's hands. Because usually, when we control our lives, we tell you what, we 100%, we always make a mess. If you don't believe me, look around and tell me, what is the world like? It's a mess. And sometimes maybe also our lives are a bit of a mess, because very often we don't allow the light of God to shed, you know, to work in our lives and to show us where we go wrong. Many years ago, I was teaching little children about the light that God brings to you and how it is in the Bible and so on. And in order to make it quite, dramatic so that they could understand, I gave them a piece of chocolate each. But on purpose, I had put that chocolate near a source of heat. So the chocolate was messy. And as you can imagine, as they ate that piece of chocolate, you should have seen their hands and their faces. And then I said, now, let us get a mirror and look yourself in the mirror. What do you see? I'm dirty. This is not nice. This is disgusting. I said, that is our lives. When we don't allow God to control us. And the Bible, don't ever tell me that God doesn't talk to you, because he does every day. If you open your Bible, God talks to you. It's like a mirror. It tells us what's wrong with society and with our lives. And often we don't like it, so we prefer to just shut the Bible, yeah? So that we don't see what's wrong in our lives. The second thing that I want to mention is that when we walk in the light, we have to walk a bit more like Jesus. Now, that's the aim of, or should be the aim of all Christians, is to become a bit more like Jesus. You may say, it was very difficult. Jesus was perfect. Yes, so he was. And I'm not saying that we have to be exactly copies of Jesus, but we have to work to become a bit more like Jesus. And if we want to walk in the light of God and be a bit more like Jesus, Jesus says that we have to obey his commandments. John 15:10 says, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. Now, what are the commandments of Christ, of Jesus? Very often, people think that we Christians are free, yeah? We talk about freedom. We've been set free, and if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Well, it doesn't mean that we are free to do whatever we please. We are to follow his commands. if we walk in the light. And to walk in the light means continuous action. We keep walking all the time, not just for a little bit. That means that to obey his commandments is to change our lifestyle. Keep on walking in the light. Every day we get up in the morning and we consciously give thanks to God for a new day, or we should. We come to him in prayer and pray in our Bibles, and we keep walking in the light. The blood of Jesus cleanses from every sin we've read. And in order that we are kept being cleansed all the time, we have to keep walking in the light. We have to take a conscious attitude and decision to walk and not to stop walking in the light. If we live in the light, you know what happens? We reveal God to humanity. That is actually the best evangelism we can do. Is that people out there may look at us and see Christ in us. You know the word Christian, what it means? It means little Christs. Are we imitating Christ to the point that people out there may see us and think or say they have seen Christ? Many years ago, when Hudson Taylor went as a missionary to China, and he was the only one that was brave enough to go inland, not to stay by the coast where life was cozy, he went inside, inland, and faced the Chinese. And apparently one day, he saw this man coming out of a clinic. And he said to the man, "Do you know Jesus Christ?" And the man said, "I've just been with him." The doctor wasn't Jesus Christ, but the way he lived to that man, the doctor showed Christ in action. Are we doing that? Are we upright? Now you may say, "Well, I'm not sure that I am the best copy of Christ or the best one to imitate. I will not dare say that I look like Christ at all." And I don't, definitely. But little by little, we will learn how to know if we are walking in the light. And the first thing is, keep his commandments, says the Bible. And many people, as I was saying before, like the Jews especially, they think that Christians don't have a law, so they don't keep commandments. We do have the law. Christians are free. No, we do have a law. And the first commandment that Christ gave was, love one another. Do we show to the world that we keep the commands, the law of Christ? I tell you what, and as I said, definitely if you are looking for a good Christian, don't look at me. But love for me is so important. You may think, how do we see love? Or do you really have love? Well, I tell you, and it's not a lie. It's not even 2 years we started coming to this church. And I've never found people so easy to be loved like you. I can tell you with honesty, I love you. And I hope that the love of Christ poured out on me being channelized towards you. And I hope you see love in me. And when you show love and you feel love for one another, we then will experience forgiveness. verses 8 to 10. It says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have no sin, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has not place in our lives. Listen, brothers and sisters, I don't claim to be sinless. To claim to be sinless is the most horrible thing, lie, we can actually tell. In Christianity, there is one characteristic that must be shown also all the time together with love, and that's confession. When was the last time you confessed your sins? And please, I'm not talking about going to church, to the confessionary. We don't have one here. Not even in that little room over there. When was the last time we confessed our sins? The word for confession in Greek means to acknowledge specific sins. And that means that I should come before God every day, every minute if needed, with a list of my sins and confess them. And once I confess them, remember the little story that said that God throws them in the sea and puts a little sign that says, no fishing. Confess them, you are forgiven, leave them with God, don't go back there. We say that we have not sinned. We make God to be a liar. We have sinned. And I'm not using this, as John will say in another passage, as an excuse. Oh, sorry, Paul said it. As an excuse. Because we all sin, so let's be it. I come in the morning, I said, God, this is my list. Thank you very much, I leave it with you. No, that's not the attitude. The attitude is to acknowledge we are not perfect. To leave our sins at the foot of the cross. To ask for forgiveness, and I assure you, if you confess your sins, the Bible clearly teaches that God is just and he will forgive us. Now it's up to us. What do we do after that? Do we get up and, as I said before, go fishing and take them out again and say, okay, let's continue? No, that's not the way the Bible teaches us. In Jeremiah 31 and 34, second part of the verse, it tells us that was God's plan from the beginning. It says, I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. There is assurance that we can be forgiven. Now, if we claim that we are not sinful, then we are making a false affirmation. So two things, love and confession. And the third thing that we need to do as Christians, if we are truly Christians, is obedience. Sorry. In John 2, these pages don't want to come apart. In John 2, verses 1 to 6, it says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. We need every day to become more obedient. And we all know that obedience doesn't come out easily. You try to teach a child obedience, and you know how many years it will take before they become obedient. And I'm not thinking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm thinking more like 30, 40, 50 probably. The aim of the Christian gospel is not to affirm that Christians live constantly in sin, but that we might know sin. We will never achieve perfection while we are on this earth. But we have to learn to be obedient. Therefore, we have to fight against our sins and against our disobedience. And remember that Christ, as it says in these verses, is our advocate in heaven. And it means that he's more than a lawyer. He's a lawyer and a barrister at the same time. So he presents the case, he fights the case for us, and he's our intercessor. He is the one that provided the way out. Christ is the perfect defense we have in heaven. Therefore, come to Christ all the time, knowing that he is your barrister, your lawyer, and the one who paid for our sins. That's what the word propitiation means in these verses. Jesus applicates God's wrath. God looks on us to begin with, you know, with almost no anger, but you know, he wants justice. You've done something bad, you have sinned, therefore I need to punish you. But Jesus is the one that applicates God's wrath and says, look, Father, this is the case, I'm the barrister, this is my defense, I've died for them, and therefore I intercede for them, that you will forgive them. And God is the judge. Come on, cannot be anything more perfect and just than that. Don't fear. Come to Christ. Abide in him. If you really feel that you can say yes to any of this, all these things, like I love the brethren, I love Christ, I trust that he has died for me and he is my advocate, my barrister, my solicitor, my intercessor, then don't fear. God will save you to the end. And as I said before, if you still have got a doubt, ask yourself this question. Do you love the brethren? That's the first test I would do to myself, to know, am I in the right track or not? Do I love the brethren? Amen.
As we conclude the service, let's sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine.
Oh,
Thank you for that word. You know, doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, you're always walking through that Bible. There's always something to learn. And in care group on a Thursday, we think we know the stories that people are, or the messages people are going to give us. But we learn so much on a Thursday in that hour and a half. We have good chat. So if you're free on a Thursday, do come, because we're always learning. We're always walking through that Bible. And if you haven't got a Bible, there's a Bible up the end there that you're welcome to take and start walking through it. Just close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for the word that we've been given today. And as we go out into the streets where we live, help us to walk in your name. Help us to perhaps shout across the road to someone. Be bold. Sometimes we sit back on our heels and don't say a word. But Father, help us to spread your word, to walk in your word. And Father, as we go out into the week, we ask that you'll be with each one of us in your name. Amen. Thank you for being with us today.